Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Sunday, and that means it's time for our Zen stream. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness which create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life by mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you've definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you enjoy the content on this podcast, I hope you'll consider sharing it with others who you think could benefit. So on the podcast, we have a few series. We have our Tuesday Taoism. We have our Zen stream on Sunday. And I do try, pretty often once a week or so, once every other week, try to throw in an extra episode related to a related topic, you know, mental health, meditation, mindfulness, manifesting, basically anything and everything that could help you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, just live an overall happier day-to-day life. But for today, it is Sunday, so we are doing our Zen stream. And for our Zen stream lately, I have been reading from this really great book by a pretty well-known Vietnamese Zen monk named Thich Nhat Hanh. Perhaps you've heard of him. He wrote this book called Your True Home, and it's a collection of very, very short meditations. I believe there's 365 of them, one for each day of the year. And some of them have just been, I mean, they're all good. Some of them have just been really, really, you know, very, very impactful. And I really enjoy reading from it. So I'm going to share one with you today, and then we'll discuss it a little bit. And I think this one brings up a very, very good topic that we can delve into a little bit. And hopefully we'll get something great for our practice for today out of this. So let's go ahead and read this. This is called Look Deeply Into Your Perceptions. And it goes like this. In most cases, our perceptions are inaccurate, and we suffer because we are too sure of them. Look at your perceptions and smile to them. Breathe. Look deeply into their nature, and you will see that there are many errors in them. For example, that person you are thinking about has no desire to harm you, but you think that he does. It is important not to be a victim of your false perceptions. If you are the victim of your false perceptions, you will suffer a lot. You have to sit down and look at perceptions very calmly. You have to look into the deepest part of their nature in order to detect what is false about them. That's the end of the little meditation for today. And this jumped out at me. A little bit because of an episode that I put out yesterday related to anxiety, stress, and worry. If that's something that you have issues with, I highly encourage you to check out that yesterday's episode. I go into a lot of depth on anxiety, worry, and stress. But one of the things that I mentioned in that, just to briefly touch on it here, and I'm going to use that as a springboard to go into a few other things about our perceptions, is one thing I had said is that many times when we have a situation that we are looking at something that is going to be happening in the future, next week, next month, something that is not here now, but it's at some point coming toward us, chronologically speaking, many of us, right, we tend to think about that thing. And if it's something that concerns us or that causes some anxiety, we tend to cling to it and we tend to worry about it, get anxious about it, get stressed out about it. And it's not even here yet, right? And it's easy in those moments to say, well, I'm stressed because this thing is coming next week, right? Whatever it is. But the truth is, it is much more accurate to say that it's not that situation that is really making you stressed in the present moment. It's your thoughts, the thoughts that are generating in the present moment that is causing stress. So it's not the thing, it's the thoughts about the thing that you are experiencing now, right? The thing itself is not here right now. It doesn't exist in this moment. the only thing that exists in this moment are the thoughts that are generating about that thing. That's what's causing the stress. And it's interesting how we, and we all kind of do this. I do this. I'm sure most of you do this, unless you're, you know, an enlightened master. We tend to react emotionally to thoughts about things that are not even here right now. Right? We do this. We think about things that happened yesterday, last week, last month, last year. We think about things coming tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. And we begin to react emotionally to those things as if they were here right now. And of course, it's our thoughts doing that. It's our perceptions, right? Another word for perceptions, cognitions. It's all thinking based, okay? And this also applies, as he's talking in this particular little chapter, about even things that are happening in the present moment, that it's not about those things in and of themselves. It's our perception of those things. And we talk a lot about this in mental health. For those of you new here, that is my background. I've been a psychotherapist now for about 16 years. And we talk a lot about this in mental health when we talk about cognitive distortions and, you know, cognitive, the word cognitive or cognition is basically a fancy word for thoughts. So these are what we call thought distortions. And there's many common ones, right? They have kind of categories of different types of thought distortions. We have things like making assumptions. We have, you know, all or nothing thinking. So things like, you know, either you agree with everything that I think or you're my enemy, or either I'm number one or I'm a loser, or, you know, these extreme types of thinking where we put things into two broad black and white categories and there's no middle ground. It's just a typical example. Again, another one is assumptions. Another one is catastrophizing or making mountains out of molehills. Those are just very common ones that we see a lot in you know, when we're doing therapy and we work with people on those types of thinking errors, right? And that's, again, that's what he's talking about in this little chapter. It kind of reminds me of this really funny joke I heard as a kid. And it was a comedian, you know, my family, you know, were, I was born here in the US, but my family's all originally from Cuba. And, they had this very famous comedian named Alvarez Guedes in Cuba. And he had this really funny joke that actually ties in pretty well with what we're talking about here. And just to summarize it really briefly, I'm not going to go through the whole thing because he really, in his stand-up, he really carries it on for a while. But basically, there's a man, and maybe you've heard this joke before, he's driving down a road and his car breaks down. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning and he has a flat tire. And so he goes through his car. He realizes he doesn't have a jack, you know, so he sees a farmhouse way off in the distance. And he thinks, well, you know, I'm going to have to go over to this farmhouse and see if they have a jack, right? So he's walking toward this farmhouse. And as he's walking toward it, you know, he's thinking to himself and he's saying, wow, you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I feel kind of bad, you know, knocking on their door. I mean, what if they think I'm some kind of, a, you know, stranger? Well, obviously, he's a stranger. But what if they think I have malintent, you know, ill intent? What if they think I'm going to rob them? Or, you know, so he's thinking and he's thinking and he's thinking. He's getting a little closer. And he thinks, well, you know, what if they're sleeping and you know, they're going to be upset with me because I woke them up? And, you know, what if they have a baby? And what, you know, what if I wake the baby and then I ruin their night's sleep? And what if, you know, and then he's getting closer and closer and closer. And he says, you know, what if they're just jerks? You know, what if they're just mean people and they don't want to help somebody whose car just broke down, right? And anyway, by the time he gets to the door, he knocks on it and somebody answers the door, says, yeah, can I help you? He says, look, take the jack and cram it up your you-know-what. And it's very, very funny the way that he does it. And it's a little bit also funnier in Spanish, to be quite honest. But you get the idea, okay? You get the idea is that the guy had so many thoughts in his own mind and he became angry, not at the person who opened the door, but at his own thoughts about what the person was going to be like when they answered the door. And it's a funny way of looking at it. It's an exaggerated way of looking at it, but it points to a thing that is very, very true, is that a lot of times the way that we react to things, react to others, and react to situations is not based on the true nature of that moment. It's based on our perception of that moment, on our distortions, our cognitive distortions of that moment. And so, just like he says in this chapter, we need to have some kind of a practice that really helps us to look very, he says it here in those exact words. He says, you have to sit down and look at perceptions very calmly. And this is really because what I find in people that I've worked with and in with myself is that many of these, it's almost like a combination of a pattern. So there's a thought, right? A belief, you could say, and there's an emotional reaction to it. And then there's, in many cases, even a behavioral reaction, right? Like saying something, reacting in a certain way. And these three, the thinking, feeling, behaving pattern, fires off like lightning. It's very, very fast. It's like a knee-jerk reaction is the best way that I could describe it. So how do we start teasing apart the thought from the emotional reaction, from the behavioral reaction? And that is something that I want to talk a little bit more about. Just let me pause here for a quick sec to allow a word from a sponsor, and I'll be right back. All right, you all, thank you for your patience. I am back. Just want to take a moment here to tell you that if you ever have a question, concern, or suggestion for a future episode, you can always contact me via email. The email address is elucidatethereal@gmail.com. Or you can hop on over to the YouTube channel by the same name, Dreams Warp, search for any one of my videos, and just leave a comment. Doesn't matter which one, I get notified right away. And I'm always happy to engage with anyone over in the comments section of the YouTube channel. Also, I very recently launched a Twitter account, so you can always follow me on Twitter. I do post little tidbits here and there throughout the day, and I retweet some things that I like, and it serves as a nice little gentle reminder throughout your day if you read Twitter to focus on your practice and awaken, become more aware of the present moment. So make sure you follow me on Twitter to get that good stuff as well. And finally, if you're enjoying the content on the podcast and you're on Apple Podcasts, it'd be great if you could take a quick moment and leave a nice rating and a review. That would help me out a lot. Okay, so going back to what we were talking about, looking deeply into your perceptions, as Thich Nhat Hanh was talking about in this chapter that I read to you, is that we talk about this sometimes. This topic comes up in Zen, right? We are doing Zen Stream, so let's talk about that a little bit. And one of the things that is, I always am careful, right, when I start talking about Zen, because it's very important to me, and I never want to put across information that is distorted or basically when anyone, including myself, talks about Zen, it's always important to use caution, use care, because words are open to interpretation, and they're really auditory forms of mental concepts. And when we're using mental concepts, there's always, as we've been talking about in this particular episode, there's always the potential for distorting things, explaining things in a way that is not true or reality or direct experience. So I just want to put that out there, a little bit of a disclaimer. And when I'm talking about Zen, it is not what Zen truly is. The only way to experience that is to practice the practice of Zen. But anyway, at times when I have been around certain Zen teachers, the subject often comes up of directly experiencing reality. And it ties into this subject quite a bit, because the one obstacle to experiencing reality directly as it is perception, is our thinking, right? So, and again, this again ties very well to things that we talk about in mental health and things that I've talked about here on the podcast and on the YouTube channel. And also is that anytime we experience anything, there's a certain process that happens, that occurs as we get from direct experience, so to speak, to the experience that we are left with. It almost goes through like a filtering process. So Obviously, part of the process is our five senses, right? We hear things, maybe we hear words, we see a person, maybe we hear, you know, we hear a sound, we smell something, we taste something, we feel something on our skin. It all experience, a component of it is senses, sensory information. Even things that you only experience in your mind, like thoughts or memories, are based on sensory experience that you had in the past. And again, when you project into the future, it's sensory experience that you can expect at some point, you know, down the road, chronologically speaking. So senses are always involved. We have five senses, which picks up sensory information. And then that sensory information gets interpreted by this amazing organism, this organ in our heads, our brain, right? We interpret the sensory information. And then what happens is that we have further, I guess you can say, filtering gates, right? So we have the attention filter, which is, you know, that our brain is constantly filtering out a lot of information, because really, if your brain had to keep track of all the sensory information occurring at every moment in time, it would be overwhelming. So we have this gate of attention that is actually quite narrow, right? So when I'm driving, I'm focusing on the road. There could be a lot of other sensory things happening to the side of me, behind me. There could be people having conversations in the car. The example I actually like even more to use is that if you're in a loud party or get together of friends and you're talking to someone, your attention is focused on that person. There could be all kinds of noise, music, people, conversations, all kinds of stuff behind you. And it's out of your awareness, right? Your brain filters it out. And focuses on what is most salient or most relevant in that moment. That is another major gate through which things get filtered out that determine your final experience of the moment. Then, we're not done yet. After all that stuff has been filtered out, we then have further filters that take what we are paying attention to and interpret it based on past experience, right? Again, what we've been talking about, interpret it based on our perceptions, on our beliefs, cultural beliefs, religious beliefs, you know, social norms kind of beliefs, even socioeconomic background type of beliefs. We have all of these further filtering processes. I like to kind of look at these as like templates. We have templates that we have in our minds through which we interpret every single moment that arises. And if certain things don't fit into that template, then we will actually cut the experience in a manner that fits the template. And so we are never really experiencing any given moment as it is. We are always experiencing it in a way that we can understand, okay? And it's interesting when you remove all of these filters, right? And in a sense, to be realistic, very, very, very few. In fact, I would argue you can't really remove them all, because the main one, which is the five senses, is already filtering out a lot of stuff, okay? Like I've said here before, there's many frequencies of light that your eyes cannot perceive. I believe we're able to see, of the electromagnetic spectrum, we're able to see like 0.0035, or is it 53? One of the two. We're only able to see about 0.0035 or 53% of the electromagnetic spectrum. So things like X-rays, gamma rays, you know, all these things, we cannot even perceive them, even though they're there. Same thing with our hearing. We only have certain range frequency of sounds that we can hear. Your dog can hear more sounds, more frequencies than you can. So immediately right there, by being human and having these five senses, we are already filtering out much of reality, okay? Much of it, a vast majority of it. But then we filter out further through the attention gate, and then we filter out even more through our beliefs, our perceptions, our biases, right? And so you go through all of these different filtering out processes, and what are you left with? You are really left with a tiny, tiny sliver, right? Tiny sliver of the full potential of that moment, right? And that's what kind of coalesces in our minds and in our reality, and we turn it into an experience. And so when he talks in this little chapter about looking deeply into your perceptions, or if we're taking a more of a mental health type of filter here, right, template, and we're saying we're looking more closely at our distortions, at the way that we perceive, right, then what we're doing is we are admitting to ourselves, we are saying, the way that I'm perceiving this particular moment is always, always biased. It's always in a way that isn't really the direct experience. Coming back to the Zen topic, is that how do we drop those biases? How do we drop those preconceived perceptions? How do we drop all that thinking? And in doing so, we get a fuller experience of every moment that we are alive. And that is a miracle. That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And that's something that is a big part of my practice. And I hope is something that, you know, you consider. And basically just look at your own, like he says here, look at your own perceptions and think, do these perceptions really serve me, right? Do I have the life that I want? Because even if we talk about this from a manifesting perspective, much of what we manifest in our reality is based on these very perceptions, based on these limiting beliefs, based on these subconscious beliefs. And so it's very important to take this time every day. I do it every single day, where you are just, as he says in that line that I reread, sit down and look at your perceptions very calmly. Interestingly, this happens automatically when you have a strong meditation practice, because when you are sitting and you are just breathing and you are not doing anything else, right? There's very little stimulation going on in that moment. What you are really getting a front row seat of, okay, is you are getting a front row seat to the drama of your mind, all the thoughts that arise and all the emotional reactions that follow. You are seeing them all front and center, because really in that moment, the direct experience, as direct as you could get, is just breathing. That's the direct experience of that moment. All you are doing is breathing. But again, we have those knee-jerk reaction, habitual thinking, feeling patterns that repeat in an endless loop. They just repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. And you can start to feel very uncomfortable while you were sitting there just breathing. You can start to get very restless. You can start to get very anxious. You can start to get fearful. You can start to get sleepy. You can start to get bored. You can start, all these amazing things start to arise in the mind. And that's what's so amazing about the practice, is that as they arise, you are doing exactly what he talks about here. You are looking at your perceptions. And over time, you will begin to tease apart that knee-jerk reaction. You'll be able to see, oh, there's the thought. Oh, there's the emotional reaction. And oh, there's the behavior. And you're able to start to pull them apart, and you start to gain a sense of freedom. You start to notice that there is a space that exists between the thought and the emotional reaction. And it's that space that frees you. The thought may still come, but you will not be as reactive to it, right? Because you have actually learned to observe it. And now as you observe it, you put more space between it and who you really are, which is that consciousness that can become aware. And that is a miraculous thing to be able to manage to do. And that is how you begin to gain freedom from the perceptions and the habits of thinking that could really take over your life and limit much of what you can experience with this amazing life that you have. So I hope that you're able to do that today in your practice, and I hope you found this episode valuable and helpful in your practice today. Again, drop any comments, questions, concerns in an email. You can send it to me or over on the YouTube channel. I really want to thank you for listening, and stay tuned. I'll be back on Tuesday with another installment of Tuesday Taoism. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.